And greetings again, brothers and sisters. It's Pastor Bob, and this is your Jesus story for the day. We're on story number 9, the miracles of Jesus, and we're in the second part of that. Probably we'll need another day to get through this, but that's okay. As I always said, the more miracles, the better. Amen. Gonna grab a little sip of my tea here. It's that kava tea from the old days. All right. Well, let's pick up a little bit where we ended yesterday, and then I'll segue right into today's continuation. Several days later, he emerged in Capernaum. It was not long before the people of the city found out that he was at home, for since his rejection at Nazareth, he had made his home in Capernaum. And they immediately gathered at his house to hear his words and receive his healing touch. The friendly and the curious, the needy and the sick, all crowded in and filled the house. Even Pharisees and scribes, or doctors of the law, they had come from every town of Galilee and Judea to listen to this man. In a very short time, the place was so full that there was not an inch of space to spare, not even at the open door. And Jesus preached the word of God to them in that overcrowded room. And on into today's continuation. Now there was a man who was so ill and crippled with the palsy that he could not drag himself about in search of Jesus, nor go up to him when he had found him. And when he did discover, through friends, where Jesus was, it seemed that there was no way to force the crowds to part and let him into the house. But he had four friends who were as sure as he that Jesus would be able to cure him. And they were determined that he should be healed. So they carried him on his pallet to the house where Jesus was. By now, even the street outside the house was so packed with people that they almost despaired. The four friends looked about to find some other means of bringing the palsied man to Jesus. And at last, they thought of a way. Carrying the sick man on the cot with the utmost care, they climbed onto the housetop and broke open a section of the roof. Then, slowly and carefully, they lowered their friend through the tiling and set him down, bed and all, in the midst of the throng pressing around Jesus. Jesus looked down at the man and up at the four friends on the roof. And seeing their faith, he said to the one who was sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." The sick man's heart was lightened. But certain of the scribes and Pharisees who were sitting there were thinking harsh things within themselves. In their hearts, they questioned Jesus' right to say such words to any man. To them, those words were blasphemy. "Who is he that he should speak such blasphemies?" they asked themselves. "Why does he say these things? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Thus did they reason in their hearts, and they doubted Jesus, for they did not want to believe that Jesus had been sent by God, and that he too had the power of forgiveness. No, they would rather believe that he was an ordinary man speaking impiously of God. Jesus could see what they were thinking. He answered their unspoken words at once. "Why do you think evil of me in your hearts?" he asked. "And what is it that you are reasoning within yourselves? Whether it is easier to say to the man sick with the palsy, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Arise, take up your bed and walk.' Yes, it is easy indeed to pretend power, to talk rather than do. But do you think that forgiveness cannot be demonstrated? I will show you now that the Son of Man does have authority on earth to forgive sins." He turned to the palsied man, still lying ill and paralyzed on his pallet, in the midst of the gaping crowd, and he said, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your own house." Immediately the man arose, took up his bed, and pushed his way through the crowd. He headed for his own house, praising God and talking excitedly to his four loyal friends, and all who saw him were amazed. They marveled, they feared, they glorified the God of Jesus, and they said, "We have seen strange things today." Stranger things were yet to come. Jesus went forth again by the seaside. The multitude followed him as usual, and he taught them as he walked. One day, as he passed by, he saw a publican named Levi, also known as Matthew, sitting at the toll house where the tax money was collected. Matthew was hated by the Jews because he was a tax collector for the Romans. It did not occur to them that he might not be a sinner, for they had suffered from the dishonesty and greed of tax collectors through many years of Roman rule. And to this man, Matthew, hated tax collector, Jesus spoke two words: "Follow me." Matthew arose and followed him. Sometime afterward, Matthew made a feast for Jesus in his house, to which he invited a great company of fellow publicans and other people whom the self-righteous Pharisees regarded as unfit companions for all right-thinking Jews. When the Pharisees saw that Jesus and his disciples sat at meat with Matthew and the others, they murmured against Jesus and his friends. "Why do you and your master sit down with tax collectors and sinners?" they asked the disciples. When Jesus heard the murmurings of the Pharisees, he went to them and asked, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, only those who are sick. And those who are without sin have no need of me. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Matthew, the tax collector, did not think he was so righteous that he had no need to repent. He knew that he had sinned, and he was humble. But the Pharisees could see no flaws in themselves, and they were proud. Thus, they could not see that their need to repent was even greater than that of the self-admitted sinner, Matthew. And we will pause right there in this ninth Jesus story, the miracles of Jesus, and we will finish up tomorrow on our middle Sabbath. Until then, have a blessed Tuesday. Enjoy the revival, the renewal, the restoration, and all things that Jesus can do. Amen.